I am Dale Kneeper. It is Tuesday, August 21st, 2000, and I am in the home of Mr. Joseph Hoops, a Harford County living treasurer. Mr. Hoops grew up on his family's apple and dairy farm outside of Hickory and will describe major events in his life and in Harford County, Maryland. Mr. Hoops, where and when were you born?
I was born November 28th, 1905. At Waverly, which is a farm 5 miles north of Bel Air on Route 1. It's now name and number.
Okay. And could you describe, since you've lived in this area pretty much all your life, could you describe what it was like when you were growing up as compared to what it's like today?
Well, for one thing, it was just quite different because we grew up, my brother Herbert and I, in a home that had no electricity. We had to do our studying by kerosene lamps, and our first electricity came on with rural electrification about 1915. And before that time, we had an acetylene tank in our backyard that furnished gas for lighting in the house. It wasn't used for cooking. The kitchen had an old home comfort wood stove that it was the children's chore to keep that wood box full. It was a chore that we all took turns at, and as I remember, there was no bickering about it because it just kept us warm and gave us hot water to take our baths in. There was always a bathroom in the house, as I recall, upstairs that had running water from a tank that was in the attic that was filled by windmill power from our well that was probably 25 or 30 feet away. The water would be come down to take a bath in or to the kitchen by gravity. And of course, after electricity came in, we changed over to have an electric pump, and it was quite an improvement.
I guess you've seen the Bel Air area and the county change quite a lot too since you were growing up, haven't you?
I think the population of Bel Air at that time must have been just a little bit over 1,000. And myself and my cousins who lived a mile away, we walked to Bel Air High School. And before we went to the high school, we went to the local school, which at that time was called Mechanicsville. Mechanicsville was my school till I was in the 7th grade, and then I went to Bel Air High School. Started in the 7th grade.
Where was Mechanicsville School in relationship today? Whereabouts would you say it was?
It's now a house that is probably 200 feet above Route 1 north of the intersection at the Gibson Road.
And when you went to Bel Air High School, where was Bel Air High School located then?
It was on Gordon Street, I believe it was. It's now where administration is.
Board of Education.
Yes.
How many generations of your family have lived in Harford County?
Great-grandfather, Darling Cooks, moved into Harford and was married in Harford County in 1845. And that is about the general time when the Hoopses moved down from Chester County, Pennsylvania.
And has your family always been involved in agriculture?
Ever since my great-grandfather at one time owned the farm, it's called St. Omer Farm, that now is owned by the Quick family that raises horses.
Do you know what brought your family from Chester County, Pennsylvania, down to Harford County?
It was a gentleman down here by the name of Joseph Trimble that owned three farms and three daughters. And I don't know which was the most attractive to the Hooks brothers that came down to Chester County. But they all came down and settled in the St. Omer Valley.
And where exactly is the St. Omer Valley in today's terms?
Well, you turn off Route 1 and on Gibson Road and follow it down to what used to be a beech tree, and a right turn there would take you onto what is now Hooks Road, and the branch running through that valley is the St. Omer branch.
So that's out the Deer Creek?
It empties into Deer Creek at the end of St. Omer Farm.
Good. I know you talked a little bit about your childhood when you were describing your living conditions, but could you talk a little bit more about your childhood? How would it be different from kids of today?
Well, one thing would be different because we evidently were poor and didn't know it. One of our things to look forward to was packages of clothing that would come down from our Preston folks in Pennsylvania. They would send us down a package of clothing, and that they had three sons that were just slightly older than me. And they were more or less, we'd consider them rich folks because they were in the service of the government that moved in and out of Brazil. And the clothes that came in were so welcome that we never thought it was a mistake to use hand-me-down clothes. It was a thing to look forward to.
Of course, that's the difference of today, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
How about any other differences you think of? For example, how about your spare time? Did you have a lot of spare time?
Oh, there was no spare time because at that time, my father was a veterinarian. He graduated in 1899 from the University of Pennsylvania, and he practiced veterinary medicine until 1920, and in 1920 he gave it up because he was not a business person, and I think so many people owed him that he couldn't collect that he decided he could just go entirely into farming in 1920. And we were all, well, I in particular was taught to milk cows at age six. And my brother and I would take turns pumping water through a cooler to cool the milk down, carry the milk up from the barn to the dairy, and then it would be put into cans and into a milk tank that was cooled down by ice that we get from Bel Air from the Corbin people. Corbin people had an ice making plant there, and that would be what we would use before we had an electric compressor on a milk tank. And eventually, as we got into later years, we got into a milk tank that the people would come in and pick the milk up. Otherwise, it was our chore to get the milking done and have it on the milk stand at the end of the lane for the milk truck to pick in and take it to Baltimore.
Were there any other chores, too, that you can recall, you know, on the farm of that particular time period?
Well, one of our chores was to fill an ice house in the wintertime with ice that we would cut from the neighboring farm. One of the first things that my dad did when he bought the farm in 1902, was to build an ice house. And as I recall, he was only used once for ice, and then one time we filled it with snow for cooling milk. And then electricity came in, and of course that changed the need for ice.
Where did you get your ice when you built your ice house?
There was a pond, with mostly bars and ponds down at Woodside. That would be a neighboring farm that my father's brother, Wilmer, was farming at the time with Grandfather Joseph.
And how long would that ice last? If you put it in there in the winter, let's say you've got it in January, how long could you keep that ice?
Probably for 2 or 3 months. It wasn't a very, very good proposition for cooling the milk.
Is that basically all you used it for, was cooling of milk? Or did
of course we used it, had an ice box in the house, and we put chunks of ice in there.
Basically, if you had an emergency during those time periods, let's say your barn caught fire, what would you do?
Well, Grandfather's barn did burn in 1919, and it was just a matter of watching it go up the slope. And that's one thing that drew Grandfather Joseph into bankruptcy. And he turned the farm over to his son Wilmer, who farmed it until about 1952 when he died.
Overall, would you say that you really enjoyed your life on the farm as a young man?
Looking back on it, I can't conceive that I would have done any better any other place or any other time. It was an experience that was new and every day, and that was a long time before there was miles to hang out in, and there was no hanging out. There was always chores to do. From get up in the morning at 5:30, go to put to bed tonight at 9 o'clock.
You talked a little bit about you had gone to Mechanicsville School, and you walked there, I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
And you walked to Bel Air High School. Now from here to Bel Air High School would have been, what would you say?
It's 5 miles.
Yeah, 5 mile walk.
We'd start at 7:30.
Did anybody have the luxury of being delivered by a wagon or anything like that to school?
Well, one of the big assets were the milk wagons that would go from up and down our road to the Bynum Station that was on the 9 mile. Whenever it was available, well, we'd hitch rides on the back of a milk wagon. That would get us as far as Bynum. Of course, then it was another 2 miles to get to Bel Air High School.
Well, can you describe a little bit what school was like for you, either in elementary and maybe a little bit high school too, you know, because I think it's obviously different today.
Well, Mechanicsville School, of course, was a one-room school and one teacher, and I particularly remember that we liked our teachers. One was Greta Hilditch. Another was Margaret Monahan, who was one of the first ones that ever had to chastise me for a misdemeanor. In other words, I had a ruler crack down over my knuckles. And from then on, I was a good boy.
Teachers didn't mind given corporal punishment out, I guess.
Corporal punishment was kind of more or less standard.
How about books? Did you have many books from the school to bring home? Or?
Yes, it was. We generally had our lesson book. And as I recall, there was not all that much homework until we got into high school. But we learned from each other. The older grades with the more or less take charge of the younger grades, and it was I can't believe it was not a poor experience to be in a one-room school with the one teacher for seven grades.
Did you have chores being in that classroom, too? Were there things you had to do to help the school? Or?
No, not as I recall. I think the pump was well outside the schoolhouse, and I suppose we had to bring water in. There was an outdoor toilet on both sides, one for girls, one for boys. And the room, as I recall, had this one big pot-bellied coal stove in it for wintertime. And of course, recess was always a good time to play ball or play dodgeball, because at that time we had to get ready for rally day. There were two horses and a farm wagon to take all the kids to the Bel Air Fairground, where we had all kinds of contests to run, jump, and I distinguished myself by winning a bronze medal in the 60-yard dash, because the fellow who fired the shot, I got a false start, but his gun wouldn't go off.
I know you went to the University of Maryland, and at that time period would have been about the mid-20s.
Yeah.
Was 20, going
22 to 26 and 27.
Was going to college at that time for someone who lived here in Harford County, was that rather unusual?
I think probably it was, but one thing that guided me there was we had a cow tester that would come and take milk samples and take care of the books of the cows being tested. And his name was Willard Hillegeist, and he told me, or told the family, that the way to get through college was to work your way through. So he suggested that 2 years before I would be entering, that I write in an application for a scholarship. And he particularly recommended work in the mess hall. So that's, I did that, and my freshman year, they put me right into mess hall work, and the benefit from that was also that it was at that time compulsory to take military training. And the big deal there was that I could get away from military training. I had an out to get away at 11:30 rather than 12 to go to the mess hall to help set up tables and work in the mess hall. I was a waiter there for 4 years, and it paid for all my tuition and room and board, and that's why the one reason why I got through college.
When you were at the University of Maryland, do you have any idea how many students were there then?
No, I don't, but I would guess between 1,000 and 2,000.
How about when you graduated from Bel Air High School?
Well, I was in a class of 26. And I was the shortest one there with Courtright Richardson. She and I walked down at the last because we were the shortest.
Did you graduate at the school or somewhere else?
At the Bel Air Armory. We had a ceremony there. And, I forget who the speaker was, but our principal that time was Klingerman. And one of his jobs was to have something nice to say about every graduating student as they came up and got their diploma, about 2 cents worth.
Well, when you went to college, did you have a career pretty much in mind, or were you trying to find a career?
Oh, no, I was definitely there in dairy husbandry to come home and work on the farm.
And did you do that?
I did that, yes.
Did you ever spend any time away from Harford County or anything of that nature?
In my sophomore year, I spent the summer as an ordinary sailor on a freighter on the Great Lakes. The name of the ship was Kyler Adams, and it was part of our job at the end of August that the business of carrying ore and coal from the different ports on the Great Lakes ceased, and we tied the Kyler Adams up to a riverbank. I remember we had to dig ordinary seaman had to dig a real deep hole in the riverbank, and we buried the anchor there. So as far as I know, the Kyler Adams maybe is still rotting away up there in the Great Lakes.
How did you hear about that and get involved in going all the way up there?
One of my freshmen schoolmates, or college mates, evidently had some in with the owner of the Great Lakes line up there, and he invited me along because he didn't want to go by himself.
Did you have any problems convincing your parents that that was okay for you?
As I recall, I did not. I mean, they were glad for me to have a new experience.
Well, you, of course, came back and got involved in agriculture, and I know you wrote an informal history of the apple industry in Harford County not too long ago, which is in your folder, which we appreciate having there. What prompted you or motivated you to write that information down about the apple industry here in the county?
As I recall, it was kind of a request from my family that wanted me to go back in history a little bit and write of something that I knew about that might be of interest to children and grandchildren.
It certainly would be that. Now, how have you seen agriculture, since we were talking about agriculture, how have you seen agriculture change over the years? And that's a big question. But.
Well, I'll answer one facet of it. When we used to make hay, our tools were a horse-drawn mowing machine and a horse-drawn rake, and one of our newer things then was a horse-drawn tedder. It was called DDDAR, and it did go after it was about an hour's drying time to fluff up so that it would be dry that much faster. And our big crop at that time that we tried to grow was alfalfa. That was a high-protein grass feed for the cows. And we tried to raise all the feed that was necessary for the cows, except we always mixed the feed for the cows, and generally we buy a high-protein feed from the meals like cottonseed meal or cotton or linseed meal, and mix that with the bran that we'd make from taking our wheat to the mill.
What, was there a nearby mill that you used?
At that time, there was a Walters mill that is in the corner, right-hand corner as you go turning to Hooks Road. There's still some of the old pipes there showing, and it wasn't too long after that that Walters, the Smith Walters grandfather that owned it and had bought it from my great aunt Phoebe, oops, was because her husband died and she had to sell something, so she sold this 23 acres to Mr. Glover's. And then it goes, it wasn't feasible there. There wasn't enough water in St. Omer Branch to really do it efficiently. So the water finally moved down to Deer Creek, where there's a mill still standing down there that's no longer used.
How about as far as raising apples in the apple orchard? Has that changed much in your lifetime?
That has changed a whole lot. My records show that great-grandfather Brownington planted an orchard in the back of St. Omer farm, and then the orchards gradually moved up when grandfather Joseph and his son Wilmer moved into Woodside farm, and they had an orchard, and my earliest recollection of orchards was to be a spray boy back of a horse-drawn sprayer that which my Uncle Wilmer would sit in a tower on top of the sprayer and spray the tops of the trees. And it would be my job to come along behind, and there was, in other words, there'd be two hoses leading from the sprayer. It'd be my job to do it around the bottom. And there was one incident that I happened to be the driver, and the driver took a too quick a turn and upset the whole sprayer. As I recall, I didn't get punished, but it was kind of a sad experience and kind of disheartening.
Left the memory of.
Yeah.
Did your family growing up buy many foods, or did you pretty much just grow the things you needed?
We almost always had a garden, and one of my mother's proud possessions when I was a kid was my dad built her a chicken house, and she had her own chickens, and of course we had eggs and poultry, but then we had a garden, and this apple trees growing right up next to the tenant house. So I'm sure that most of what we bought was just plain staples like salt.
Where would you have gone to purchase something like that?
There was a country store right at the corner of Route 1 and Gibson Road, called Shannon Store, and it had everything, including cookies and candy, and it was a place where people went to just sit and spit in their spittoon, talk, and of course, at that time, there would be vendors that come around. They'd bring a whole dressed beef, and you would get a cut off of beef or just whatever you wanted, or bones or whatever. And then there was a potato man who'd come around that you could buy a potato from.
He'd actually come to your farm?
Yeah, come to the farm, yeah.
So most of the things you needed, you got from the local general store?
Yeah, local. In other words, of course, we would go to Bel Air to get material for making dresses or stuff like that. There was a store in there, that a general store called Carvin Price, that everybody went to. It was right in the middle of Main Street, just right across from now where this drugstore is.
Did you ever go into Baltimore?
and her. Of course, the manpower was available at that time. And, one of our trips we would make, if we go from Bel Air to Fasten and get off at Fasten and go to see the aunt of the Watson family. And we would sometimes spend overnight there, and then we'd come back to Bel Air and get picked up as an outing for the children.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I wanted to ask you a little bit about the roads when you were growing up and as you became older. What kinds of roads did you see in the county?
The only McAdam road we would see would be the one that went past our house and went to Bel Air, through Bel Air, and past the toll gate, and we could go almost to Boston, and then there'd be dirt road from there on in. Sometimes lanes would get gravel, but mostly it was a muddy mess when rain came.
What would you do when you had those ruts and things like that? Would the county fill them, or would the individuals do it?
It would be up to the individuals who were more or less individually responsible for their studies.
That's a big change from today, too, isn't it?
Yeah.
As roads got better, transportation got better, how do you see that affecting agriculture in Harford County?
Oh, I think it opened up the markets in Baltimore City that weren't there before.
And I think you mentioned the Mull and Paul Railroad, the Maryland-Pennsylvania Railroad. You have ridden that many times, I imagine.
Yeah, we'd ride that. We'd go get on there at Bynum or Forest Hill. We'd go to Baltimore. And one of my earliest recollections was going with my aunts to, we went to Ocean City by a train. And the trains would get on a ferry and get off on the eastern shore. And as a child, my first encounter with what is now called chewing gum. And I found out that you're not supposed to swallow it.
Well, when you went to Ocean, you mentioned going to Ocean City. There weren't probably too many people in Harford County that had been to Ocean City, have they, at that point?
I imagine there was a fair amount. It was a pretty busy place, as I recall it.
About what year would this be, roughly?
Oh, that would have been about 1910.
Now, when you traveled Mont Paul, do you remember any unusual stories that you either heard from your parents or heard from others or saw yourself about the railroad?
I have in my collection some photographs of what was the old time, the big wreck of the Mont Paul, where the trestle gave way around Sharon. But of course, I wasn't in on that. I don't remember anything about that.
Did you ship any farm goods by way of the Mont Paul?
Oh, yes, we would take cream out there. Grandfather had a little creamery that we'd take our milk down to his creamery, and then he would turn it into cream, and cream was what was to be sent from Bynum to the Western Maryland area. And of course, later on, the milk was put out on the milk stand at the end of each one, and it goes to Baltimore by truck. To Western Maryland Dairy.
And so Western Maryland Dairy was in Baltimore?
Yeah.
Okay. One of the things I wanted to ask you, too, is just some general things. For example, we had the Great Depression occurring in the United States. As you were out of college at that point and working on the farm, did you notice any big changes in your lifestyle during those years?
Not really lifestyle, but my monthly salary at that time was on hold at $75 a month, and that was an IOU from Dad to us. At that time, we had a hired hand by the name of Bradford Reedy. He later became a landowner in Harper County, right in close to this neighborhood. And it was a sad time when we had to tell him that we could no longer have a farm hand. And as I recall, my brother Herbert and I, who graduated in 1930, more or less took over the milking and the farm work. But times did get better, and in 1936-37, Dad cashed in his life insurance at the time, and we bought the neighboring farm across the road, which was called the Peterson Farm. And we started milking cows over there, and evidently there was times got enough better that we built a new cow barn, a single block, one story, that held 36 cows, and that was a time when we were heavily into breeding Jersey cattle. And, of course, we were in the milk testing at this time, and the cows that had the best records, we'd save bull calves from them and sell bull calves. That was a source of income.
That was kind of brought cash in to you.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Living on a farm where you pretty much grew your own food, though, you never had to worry about food like people in the cities.
We never were hungry, never even thought about being hungry.
Did you see much evidence of the Depression in Harper County in general?
Well, for one thing, our bank closed for about 6 months. And as I recall, we, as a family, had greater debt at the bank than we had equity in it. So that really didn't concern us that much. But it was a sad time, and people did lose money, and I suppose at that time there could have been hunger in Harper County that we didn't even know about.
You mentioned a while ago that you went to the old Harper County Fairgrounds, which is where the mall is today. You probably attended lots of the Harper County fairs, too, I'm sure.
Yep.
Could you describe the old fairs for us? A lot of folks are familiar with the farm fair today, but they may not be familiar with how the old Harper County Fair used to be.
As I recall, it was quite a good-sized grandstand, and one of the big events, as I recall at that time, was to have an automobile or a motorcycle go by. They were the oddity at that time rather than having horses. And of course, at that time, we would show cattle. In other words, we'd spend a lot of time polishing up horns and clipping cows, getting them ready for the fair. And of course, the way we got to the fair was to have a lead cow and just drive them to the fair. We're going to have a show herd that maybe had a couple of bulls and two or three milk cows. We had several classes for heifers. We're going to have entry in that. And as I recall, we would come home with only a few blue ribbons, but quite a few of the red and yellow. And one time, Grandpa Hibbard, who managed the Monument, talked Dad into sending a herd down to the Monument. And we got a herd together, enough to fill a boxcar. We walked the cows and so forth to bind them, put them on a boxcar, and took them to the Monument, unloaded them, And as I recall, it was our competition against the show herds that run around the country. It was very sad. I think maybe we got a few of the last place ribbons. But that was just a one-time thing that the Hookses decided they didn't have any show cattle to fit the show.
You used to take them actually down to the Bynum station.
Yeah.
How long would it take you to do that?
Well, I suppose we should start out and spend at least 2 or 3 hours to do that.
So, 2 or 3 hours?
And of course, when we get that ammonium out, the boxcars would be right where we could take them right off and lead them to where they were supposed to be.
Well, did you also take them that way to the Harper County Fair? You just drove them down?
We just drove them down.
Yes. How long would that take?
That would take 3 hours. Especially, well, we generally have quite a little bit of help, and there was generally quite a few boys around that would pop in ahead of them to stop off the lanes where they could bypass. And of course, we always had a good lead cow that would lead well, and of course, the others would
there. And then you'd be there for the whole week?
Yeah.
And would you spend the night there and everything?
Night with them, yeah.
Stay right with them the whole time. Have you been to the current farm fair?
No, I have almost entirely discontinued going to the fair.
Okay. One of the things I wanted to ask you, too, about is, did you ever go to any of the races at the Bel Air Racetrack?
Never did.
Okay. So you're basically, you're attending the fair there was pretty much what you saw on those fairgrounds, right?
Yeah, it was strict agriculture and cows.
Okay. Did you ever have a chance to go down on the Susquehanna River, do any fishing or anything of that nature?
At that time, one of my favorite things was to go with my Uncle Wilmer to get shad and herring. In other words, they would have a fish trap out in the river that would catch the fish, and we would come home with several bushels of herring. And they would be cleaned and hung up in the smokehouse. That was a delicacy at the time, a smoked herring.